From TSN, we welcome Mike Johnson, our hockey insider, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Mike?
Good morning, boys. I'm excited. This should be a fun night for Ottawa. Kind of get the whole band together and Brady around, and we know what he brings, and hopefully some fans in the building, and you know, Erik Karlsson returning. There's lots of compelling storylines in what should be a fun night with lots of people watching the game.
Yeah, and I'll add one more to that. Matt Murray making his season debut mm-hmm. with the Sens in net. Does that is that really, when you think about all the things you just presented, is that really the most important thing the Sens want to see tonight? With all due respect to Brady and him making his appearance, is Matt Murray ready to take the reins as the number one goalie here in Ottawa?
Yeah. I mean, you want to, like what's going to determine whether Ottawa is successful in this game and in this year? It's got more to do with what happens in net than what happens with Brady Tkachuk back and then him playing his first game with the first line and everything else. None of that matters as much as Matt Murray, because Ottawa shown this year, and even a little bit last year, when they get good goaltending, somewhere between average to good, they're a pretty competitive team. And when the season ended last year, the first 10 games, they couldn't get a win. A lot of that was based on the goaltending. They just weren't very good, Matt Murray or otherwise. And so, yeah, so far, Forsberg, Gustafsson have both been more than just good, been like spectacular, given Ottawa the kind of goaltending that will keep you in every single game. Can Matt Murray deliver games like that 7 out of 10 times, 8 out of 10 times? If he can, it should be an interesting year for Ottawa. If he can't, then it's a different decision altogether. You know, how much does he play? They've made the commitment to him. They believe in him, clearly, but they have capable guys around if he's not doing it. So they don't want to go down that road, so you're right. As much fun we're going to have with Brady Tkachuk coming back, Matt Murray's performance is probably more noteworthy for the Sens.
Obviously, tremendously sick missing that time, Johnny. Would you give him basically Thursday, Saturday, Monday, and kind of reconvene Tuesday to get a feel for where his game is at? And more importantly, just gonna let him get back in the groove?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how physically, whatever you could tell me, how physically taxing it is to play goalie. Like, if your performance is going to be affected.
I sense sarcasm in your voice.
Well, I mean, like, you are just standing there. You're not skating. It's like a mental, it's a mental requirement than a physical one as much as anything.
Yeah.
So if he's not healthy enough, or, you know, he's still kind of weakened state because of the illness, then I don't play him. Like, I have other guys there. Like, I just, until you're like, there are no excuses why you would not play well. Yeah. Then I would, like, we'll just play the other guys, because the other guys are really good and playing really well right now. So maybe I'll be generous and say, okay, you can have tonight to work yourself back in. But after that, I'm sorry, then you're just back in the flow. I expect you to be as good as you're going to be.
I'm not around the team, Johnny, but I read the quotes, and just, I'm a big believer in body energy. Do you get worried at all when you hear a guy kind of day-to-day talking about, you know, I'll see how I feel versus, again, I guess I go kind of Ole Cole's. Like, I want a guy that just wants to grab a hold of the net, or am I reading too much into it?
I think you want to feel that sentiment. Like, you know, I'm not, like, if you're having a private conversation, like, I'm not feeling great, but I'll play me. I can do it. You want a guy to err on the side of, you know, I'll go in regardless, because I believe I can do it. I want to be part of the team. I'm ready to go. But I also think we've changed a little bit in that players are, and for the better, more comfortable in saying, you know, I'm not feeling good. I'm not talking about just mentally. I'm talking about, like, physically. Like, I'm not feeling good enough to play at my best. And in many ways, that's a tougher decision. That's a tougher thing to say than yeah, put me in, coach. I can get it done. To say, you know what, I'm probably going to be a detriment to the team. You'd be better served by not playing me. So I know what you're saying, but I think the shifted a little bit where players now, if you're not right, they're more comfortable in saying, you know what, I'm probably not quite going to be my best.
Matt Murray's best hockey was in Pittsburgh when he won Stanley Cups, and Marc-Andre Fleury was there too, a challenger, and then Fleury was gone, and in his last year in Pittsburgh, he wasn't very good. Talking about Matt Murray, his year last year wasn't very good, and there wasn't really an obvious challenger, given, again, small sample size, but Forsberg putting up a couple of good performances. Gustafsson, end of last year, was good, puts up a good performance. Does that maybe, in a roundabout way, provide that kind of inspiration that maybe Matt Murray, that challenge that he needs to up his game?
It should. It's like, that's something that drives him. Some goaltenders, like Marty Brodeur, wanted no part of a backup that would push him. Like, he wanted a backup that would just support him and just kind of be there to do whatever Marty needed. Other goaltenders really like the idea of competition. And I think that's, you know, if Matt Murray's a guy that likes competition, I think given the way he played last year and given the way that Forsberg started so far this year, he's got it. Like, I don't know how long they would go without him playing well before they just say, okay, we're not playing as much. So maybe that's it. If that's what he needs, then good, because he's got it right now, and hopefully that brings out the best in him.
What do you expect from Brady Tkachuk tonight?
I expect a rambunctious 17 minutes. You know what I mean? Like just what he does. It'd be harder to evaluate if he was a super skilled player who had to make fine plays with the puck, because maybe the timing might not be quite there, or maybe the leg might not be quite there, but he's a guy who runs into people, and he crashes and bangs, and I think the will to do that is going to be there in no short supply. So, you know, he'll be physical, he'll get to the front of the net, he'll probably bang away some rebounds, he'll scrum it up, he might get no fight. Like, you know, all those things that just drag everyone else in the game to show how engaged and how much he cares. We'll see that. And, you know, maybe the chemistry is there with the puck, maybe not, but I don't think that's going to define his night tonight. It's just going to be just a level of physical and emotional engagement for him.
What part of his game will be impacted the most by him not seeing any of training camp?
I used to joke, remember Douglas Murray played in San Jose, big Swedish defenseman, like super heavy player. I used to joke that he was like the NBA. He had a 24-second shot clock. Like, after 24 seconds, he was in trouble. Like, the legs got straight, the lungs started burning, and he could no longer make plays. So you're asking what I'm worried about? I'm worried about if Brady has a 24-second shot clock tonight. Okay. Late in the shift, if he's got to back check someone after 20 seconds in the offensive zone, I don't know if he'll have the juice in his legs to do that. So that's where I would look to, just late in shifts. Maybe late in the game if he gets up to 17, 18 minutes, but I think more just late in shifts. Does he get tired a little bit faster than his line mates? I would suspect he will, and that might be an issue.
So I want to wrap my head around something, and you played a long time in the National Hockey League. We have seen before, it's not right across the board, it's seen before players that have missed training camp or even into a season, and they never get their game back for the entire season. And I sit here and I look at it and go, well, at some point you should be, you know, physically kind of up to speed with everybody else. So why does that, and I'm not suggesting it's going to happen with Tkachuk, but why does that happen with some players where they miss a training camp and they just never find their game for the entire year?
I think it's got to do with more mental, obviously, than physical, because you're right, after a week or two, you're the same as everybody else physically. I think the concern becomes if you start a little bit slowly because you're forced back in the lineup and you're not quite ready, then you don't get the results you think you want and think you have to produce because of this new contract that you just negotiated. So it's tied in like a slow start, which everyone's going to go through at times during the year. But when you couple that with a new contract, and a lot of players feel the burden, especially in that first year of a new contract, to somehow do way more. And produce way more. And so, you know, a slow start snowballs into something that's harder to get out of. Now, I don't worry about that with Brady, because I think Brady has other parts of his game that help drive him to be successful beyond goals and points. Of course he wants those, and he's expected to get them. But, you know, he's not expected to get 90 points. Like, I think if he were to get 30 goals and 30 assists, like, that would be tremendous for Brady Tkachuk. It's a different kind of pressure, and because he's so physical, he can bring that every game and kind of live up to the contract that way. But I think, you know, you factor a slow start because you're not quite ready with pressure from a new contract, and then some guys just can't quite get out of their own way for the bulk of the year.
In a small way, does it help that this had a positive ending to it? It wasn't like negative, everyone hated ownership or the player, you're mad at. It's more like, hey, we don't like the timing, but in a lot of ways, it just ended up being a big love affair by the time he signed.
Yes, and Simmer, they started well. Like, had he missed 10 games and they lost 7 to 10, then everyone would have been negative on Brady, on the team, on the player. But because they've started well, he didn't miss that much time. He got to do Frank the Tank coming out at Saturday night, and everyone got excited for him. Like, I think you're right. It didn't turn nasty, and it probably was 3 weeks away from getting a little nastier, even for someone as beloved as Brady Tkachuk, but it never got there. And so there are no hard feelings, certainly between Brady and the organization, but also between the fans, organization, or player. And that maybe makes it easier to kind of jump back in the lineup and be as good as he can be.
Stutzla, Norris, Batherson, Shabbat on the back end, mix in Brady. What kind of potential do you think that power play has?
I like it. And you know, like when Brady plays around the front of the net, it's nice that they have kind of the linear pillars, right? They have Thomas Shabbat, who's an obvious guy who's very good at the blue line. And they got Brady down in front of the net, an obvious guy who's really good in front of the net. And then now you've added Norris, Stutzla, Batherson, three guys who play across the middle who all have pretty good skill, and they're getting a bit of a feel for each other. So, I mean, you know what it's like when power play groups have a chance to play a couple of years with some of the same personnel, and the spacing becomes instinctive, and the puck movement with all the variety of options becomes, you know, second nature. It has a chance to get better. And the fact that both Norris and Batherson like to shoot and can score makes them more dangerous. The last step to me is Timmy Stutzla showing a willingness, we talked about it last week, showing a willingness to shoot, score a bit more, and not always try to pass the puck. Once he does that, all the options will be open, and they should be pretty good.
San Jose comes into town. They're 2-0. Expectations probably as low as they've ever been in San Jose for this team, so this is an unexpectedly, I guess, good start. What do you make of the Sharks as they begin this new season?
They're in, like, professional sports purgatory because they're you know, not so bad that they'll probably be the worst. But they're not nearly good enough that they'd be even remotely considered a cup contender. And they're not ascending and getting better like Ottawa, who might not be a cup contender, but they're getting better. And you see the foundation that could get there. All you see in Ottawa, in San Jose, is a foundation of players that are likely to continue to get worse, not better. So they're in a tough spot. They have a whole bunch of contracts they cannot move if they wanted to try to rebuild or whatever it is. And so they're kind of stuck. And they're going to play hard. They have good players. And so, you know, they'll battle, but I don't think they're quite good enough. Their goaltending's a real concern. James Reimer, Aiden Hill, probably not good enough to get it done long term. But maybe they've also rallied around Evander Kane. Like, I think not having Kane around and kind of putting that distraction aside, you have to be impressed. Like, going into Montreal the day Kane gets suspended and dealing with that and playing really well, that's pretty impressive, because it would have been easier to get sidetracked by that. So they have a veteran group. They'll give you good games, but if you play with pace against them, I think you can break down their defense. And that's going to be where they're in trouble, because they don't have the goaltending to make up for it.
At this point, anything for Erik Karlsson coming home? Or is it, hey, that ship has sailed, just another hockey match?
It's not just another game. You know, he'd have it circled in the calendar. You know, you talked about how he still calls Ottawa his home. He's got his extended family from there. So it's not just another game. He'll be amped up to play it, but it won't be as personal as it would have felt in years past. So somewhere in between, he'll be fired up, but it's not going to be, you know, we got to do it for Erik, and we got to, you know, he's going to think he's got to win the game single-handedly. He's past that point.
Oh, speaking of passionate returns, how about Jesperi Kotkaniemi returning to Montreal? Is there anything, I mean, Montreal's got to draw inspiration from any, is there any inspiration from that whole storyline from the summer and the offer sheets and the trades, et cetera, something to get the Montreal going after an 0-4 start?
So I don't think the players, like, begrudge Jesperi Kotkaniemi. I don't think that, you know, if someone's going to pay you twice what you deserve, like, no player's going to say, no, I love this organization that's trashing the finals so much, I'm going to forego the extra $3, $4 million. Like, no one's going to do that. So no one's going to get mad at them for that. But what I think the Canadians should be appreciative of is that coming into town on a day when there is so much noise around the Canadians that it's a bit of a distraction for the media that they won't be talking about how bad Montreal started this year, and they can kind of talk about the offer sheet and the whole summer of games with Carolina. So maybe in that sense they're doing them a favor, because it's about Jesperi tonight and not about the 0-4 Canadians, because they have a lot of problems. I watched their games. I've called their games. We could talk about Carey Price, Shea Weber, Joel Edmondson, Paul Byron. Mike Hoffman was out for a while. They had a lot of injuries. They don't have defensemen they trust. They just do not have defensemen that they feel good about. They don't play cohesively, so they got some issues right now beyond just Jesperi Kotkaniemi coming down.
And for Mark Bergevin, Johnny, how much are you just worried about being embarrassed? I mean, your fear is another no-show, and Kotkaniemi has a big game.
Yeah, that would be the fear of the organization. I mean, you're mostly worried about just a fifth game of not winning. But you couple that with not winning against a team that's doing well in Carolina, against a player you elected not to match, and how there's a bit of whatever rivalry, whatever gamesmanship between the two organizations. That would be insult to injury in what's already a pretty perilous situation.
I know. I don't know if you've done a deep dive. I know you really like hockey analytics, et cetera. Have you done anything on Montreal that can explain to you the numbers as to why they're struggling out of the gate?
Yeah, I've done a few. So they're, like most teams, they're much better off the rush than off the cycle. Their players generate their chances that way. And they haven't turned the puck over enough, like playing defense, and their defensemen don't break up the play quick enough and give good service to the players up front that allow them to take rush chances. So everything's off the cycle, and that's not a recipe for Montreal to be successful. And their defensive game is a little bit porous. They give up a lot in front of their net all of a sudden. They were always really high up there and kind of expected goals against because they wouldn't give you the slot, and they've given up the slot an awful lot so far this season. So they go hand in hand, but those are the two main issues that Montreal has to correct to get better.
Philadelphia takes down Boston last night 6-3. Swayman really struggled. Do you foresee in the new year that it's almost an automatic? They'd bring Rask back and look and say, hey, when healthy, still one of the best goalies in the National Hockey League?
If he's healthy, yeah, I think they would. Now, having said that, I'm bullish on Swayman. I think he's a good goalie. I know he played bad last night, but I like him. Maybe I trust their, I trust the Omar coming in from Buffalo. So I think he's got the potential to be really good. But if Tuukka Rask is available in January or February after playing the Olympics and you can sign him to a one-year, $2 million deal, I don't see how you don't. Neither of those guys warrant the kind of respect that says, we can't bring Tuukka Rask in because of you. So, yeah, they'll look at him for sure. As Tuukka has made it very clear, if he's coming back, he wants to come back to Boston.
Yeah, well, he said he'd come back for what about $750 league minimum? He said he'd only play for Boston.
Well, listen, even better if you're the Bruins.
Yeah, exactly.
maybe $750 with some bonuses if you can afford it.
There you go. All good. All right, Mike, appreciate the time as always. You're doing the studio tonight for the Sens game?
I am in studio tonight for the Sens, and then I'm on my way to Ottawa tomorrow for game Saturday.
All right, sounds good. Appreciate it. We'll look forward to seeing you tonight, and thanks for the time as always this morning.
All right, enjoy the game, guys.